Welcome to Shnayim Mikra. It's the podcast sponsored by the Orthodox Union, hosted at OU.org, in which we examine an aliyah in each podcast from the current Parashat HaShavua. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are currently studying Parashat Vayishlach, this week's Parashat, and we are now looking at the fourth aliyah, which begins in Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Vav. After Yaakov had brought his family had come in the order that they'd come, which we talked about last time. And the family then arrived to the meeting with Esav. And then he says to Esav, "These are the children that Hashem has granted me." Pasuk Vav. Hadigashna shvachot hena v'yaldehen v'atishtach havena. In spite of what seems to be a very positive greeting, after all, Esav greets and embraces and kisses Yaakov, nonetheless, Yaakov keeps the order of the Shvachot first. Then Leah came, and her children, and then Yosef came with Rachel. And notice Yosef stands in front of Rachel as opposed to the other. It's the mother of the children here, it's Yosef and Rachel. And this, of course, is picked up by the Nevi Yechezkel at the famous apocalyptic battle between Yosef and Esav, which is the Haftarah in Parshat Vayigash. So again, Esav asks him, "What is this entire camp that I've met? I've brought them all so that to find favor in your eyes." Notice, when Esav asks about the machaneh, he's not talking about the family, he's talking about all of the gifts that he got. Because I brought them to appease you. And Esav says, "Yishli rav, achi hi lecha shalach." Basically, Esav says, "I have lots of stuff, you keep what's yours." And Chazal picked up here that Esav, in a sense, seems to be, whether consciously or subconsciously, admitting to the fact that the Bechorah and the Bracha and Eretz Yisrael, etc., are all things that belong really to Yaakov. For Yaakov insists on taking the gift. Yaakov, if I found favor in your eyes, it was a litmus test of whether you really forgive me and you really like me and you accept me as your brother. Now this is something that throughout the ancient world and even parts of the modern world is still a critical piece of protocol, which is when you bring a gift to a king or to a lord, if you refuse to accept the gift, even though it might seem like a kindness on his part, you're a poor pauper, nonetheless, it's really a sign of displeasure. It says, "Take the gift from my hand." Very, very powerful line. He says, "Because I see your face like seeing the face of God. And so please accept me." On a simple level, this is, in a sense, the most obeisant statement that Yaakov has said or could say to Esav. Seeing you is like seeing God, and please accept me, tirtzeni, accept me with favor. But in a sense, this is should put some fear into Esav and saying, "Seeing you, it's like, you know, I'm seeing God." In other words, I'm somebody who's familiar with seeing God, and you better not mess with me. And there are those who pick up on that also. Kachna, now notice the word na continues to pop up here, and na, of course, in Tanakh means now. So it says, "Kachna birchati asher uvad lach." Right now, take my blessing that I've given, that's been brought to you. You said Yeshli Rav, I have a lot. I'm saying Yeshli Kol, I've got everything I need. God has granted it to me, please take it. And Yaakov pestered him, and Esav finally took it, which should be an appeasement on every side, because it means that Yaakov's gift has been accepted. It means that Esav has gotten his great gift. And that should all be good on all sides. But now Esav returns and he asks for the favor. So he says, "Come, let's travel together, and I will walk with you." Esav, Yaakov wants none of this. Yaakov wants to make peace with Esav, and he wants to separate from Esav. And notice how Yaakov has dealt so far with all of the troubles. Had his own mother's behest, and later his father's blessing, he ran away from the confrontation with Esau. Now, when he left Lavan, the way that he left Lavan at the end of Parshat Vayetze was to build a separation fence. to put up a monument and say, you stay on that side, I stay on this side. It was Laban's idea, but again, Yaakov promotes the idea, and that's the way they go. Now that he makes peace with Esav, has his final word with Esav, again, you go your way, I'll go mine. Yaakov doesn't say it straight yet. And that's because Yaakov is still Yaakov. He's not fully Israel. Even though he had the confrontation with Lanai, we're still getting there. And so he said, Vayom Esav, Vayavona Adoni Defnei Avdo, you walk in front of me. Ani at Nahala, sorry, Vayom Elav Adoni Odeak Hailadim Rakim, you know that the children are young. Batson Vabakar Alot Alai, which means they are nursing. If one day things are too rough for them, they could all die. In other words, we have to go at a slow pace. We have to stop once in a while. Rachel's going to give birth. All sorts of things that are going on. Of course, that's not going to happen for a while. But in other words, everybody here is in a fragile state. We can't go fast like you with your 400 men. You go ahead. And notice, Esav said, Echal l'neidecha, I will walk with you. Yaakov says, "Lifnei avdo, you walk in front of me. I'm going to go at my own slow pace. The regel hamalacha, malacha here means the cattle, as you see in Shmuel Aleph Tevav. Asher lefanai, the regel hayladim, and also because at the pace of the children. Anashar bo aladuni seir until I come to you in seir. Of course, Yaakov has no intent on going to seir. We're going to have to look at the issue of seir in a minute. And so now Esav offers to have some of his people come with Yaakov. And Esav seems to be wanting to equalize the relationship. Say, you brought me a gift, I'll bring you a gift, I'll go with you, I'll stay with you, you can't all come with me, fine, but I'll have some of my men stay back. And Yaakov turns the phrase around and says, why do I need to find favor in Europe? Meaning, why do you want me to find favor in your eyes? Meaning, why do you want this relationship to be reciprocal? And Esav accepts it. And Esav realizes or accepts the fact that Yaakov either isn't coming at all or he's going to come much later and doesn't want any of Esav's men there. And Esav on that day returned to Seir. And this brings up a question, which right now is the proper point to talk about it, which is Esav's presence in Seir. And it's really a question that goes back to the very beginning of our parsha, because of course the first pasuk in our parsha is Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim El Esav Achiv Artsa Seir Sde Adom. Now here's the reason this is a question. Seir, which as you can see in the land of Edom, is an area with low brush, mountainous area with low brush in the Arava, which is in southwest Jordan. And Seir is the area that Esav conquers, but we only read about that at the end of our parasha, in the sixth Aliyah, when it says that Esav took off make room, as it were, for Yaakov, and he left to go to Seir, implying that when Yaakov came with the family, after all the things we're going to read about in the next couple of Aliyot, and finally arrives at Yitzchak's place, then Esav and Yaakov were all there, realized it was too much, and Esav moved out to make room for Yaakov. So why is Esav in Seir now? The Radak, I was the only one that I could find among the Rishonim who addresses the question. The Radak says that even though Esav certainly continued to live in Hebron, the reason this is such a dramatic issue is because at this point, we don't know if Rivka is alive anymore. We haven't heard anything. We'll never hear anything about Rivka's death. So we don't know at what point she dies. But we do know that when Yaakov finally returns towards the end of this parasha to Hebron, to Yitzchak, Rivka's not there. Rivka's gone already. And we know that Esav is extremely devoted to his father. And his father is old and blind. So it's hard to imagine that Esav picked up his entire camp and left father, with or without an aging mother, blind and in his tent in Hebron, and to think his whole family moved to Seir. So the Radak says that Esav continued to live in Hebron. They had already started to establish a settlement for himself in Seir, sort of a colony. And he'd gone to Seir and started to take over some things. And after all, he had married one of the daughters of the lords of Seir, as you read later in Vayishlach, based on what we read earlier in Toldot. And therefore, he already had some sort of holdings there. So that Esav, at this point, with his 400 men, was in Seir. Yaakov knew about that and sent the messengers there. Therefore, Esav is going back to Seir and wants Yaakov to come with him. And Yaakov says, I'll take my time, I'll catch up with you later in Seir. Of course, because I'll catch up with you later of the Pasuk at the end of Nevuat Ovadia, which is V'alu Moshim Bahar Tzion Lishpot Atar Esav. Yaakov will catch up with Esav at the end of days, essentially. But that puts Esav back in Seir, but again, not permanently. It's difficult to understand the Pesukim without the help of the Rava, without the help of the Radak. But nonetheless, it's also difficult to read the Radak as he presents himself, because everything in this piece has Esav firmly in Seir. It doesn't mention anything about Esav visiting Seir, or being also in Seir. Plus, why would Esav say, come with me to Seir? And Yaakov says, no, I'm not going to go to Seir, I'll catch up with you later in Seir. If Esav is essentially in Hebron, why wouldn't he say, I'll meet you back in Hebron after I go to Seir? And Yaakov and Esav, of course, never meet again until the death of Yitzchak and at his burial. Okay, in any case, as opposed to Esav who goes to Seir, Yaakov nasa Sukkota. So Yaakov goes to Sukkot. Unclear whether the place was called Sukkot, and then he built Sukkot, and it's convenient, or whether the place is called Sukkot as a consequence of that. I mentioned at the end of this pasuk, Sukkot is a place called Tel Dir Allah, which is right at where the Yabok, Nachal Yabok, comes into the Yarden, right near there. It's on in Transjordan. You know where it is. Very important things were found there in some digs. Yaakov nasa Sukkot, even lo bayit. Yaakov is the first one, by the way, to build a house. And he built huts for the cattle, which means he's going to settle in Sukkot for a little while. So that means he's come down, he's gotten away from Lavan, and now there's sort of a respite. On the one hand, Lavan stays north. On the other hand, Esav stays south. He's at peace with both of them. There's been some sort of a treaty or an understanding to separate from them. And now he sets up camp, which means that Yaakov, although he was told by the Malach at the end of Vayetze, time to go back home to Beitel, do your neder, he's not so quick to do it. And we'll see that this might have a cost. Alkein Karshem Makom Sukkot. Therefore, he called the place Sukkot. Now, this can be interpreted two ways. The simple read of it is, of course, he came to some place, set up Sukkot, and called it Sukkot. By the way, based on that, why didn't he call it Bayit? Because he also built a Bayit there. So there's another way to interpret this, which is probably more recommended in this case. We have numerous cases where events and place names are associated, and it's really unclear which came first. A classic example of that is in Yehoshua, Perek, Gimel, Dalet, and then Hay. In Sefer Yehoshua, when Bnei Yisrael cross the Yarden, the first place that they come to is called Gilgal. Now we have about four or five different Gilgals in Eretz Yisrael, and they're all called that because they have large round rocks in the area. They come to a place called Gilgal, and they set up camp there. After they've been in Gilgal for a little while, Yeshua is commanded to do the Brit Milah, and they do the Brit Milah, and after the Brit Milah, in Parakei, Pasutet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yeshua, Hayom Galoti et Chapat Mitzrayim Aleichem, today I have rolled away the shame of Mitzrayim from you. A lot of different interpretations of what that means. Hakein, Karashim, Makom, Gilgal, and everyone said, therefore the place is called Gilgal. As if to say, the place had no name, or had some other name. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, today I've rolled away, Galoti, the shame of Mitzrayim. So therefore we'll call the place Gilgal, because that's where this event happened. But if you think about it, the text continually referred to the place as Gilgal beforehand, which that didn't tell us anything, because that could be edited in afterwards. By the time Sefer Yehoshua is completed, we have lots of examples of that. And on the other hand, Hayom Galoti is sort of a forced phrase. There's a lot easier ways for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say, today I've relieved you, Harimoti Me'alechem, Haleti Me'alechem, Chepat Mitzrayim. So the recommended way to read that pasuk is the name of the place was Gilgal. It was always called Gilgal. And then, as what we call Midrash Shem, a Midrash on the name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, aha, Gilgal Galoti Me'alechem. And so therefore, at the end of the pasuk, when it says, Alkein Karachem, Alkein Shem Makom Gilgal, therefore they call it Karachem Makom Gilgal, they called the place Gilgal, meaning they gave it an added significance. And the same is true about several names of children. Rachel seems to play with the name Yosef twice, Asaf Hashem Cherpati, Yosef Hashem Liben Acher, and that probably is the meaning here, where he says, aha, I built Sukkot, so we'll call it Sukkot. You see, it's an appropriate thing. Now, by Avo Yaakov Shalem, Yer Shechem, Asher Be'eretz Kanan. By the way, I mentioned earlier, in the case of Penuel, that Yaakov came to the place and called it Peniel, that Gilad, the Gidon had the same, was in the same place. Gidon was also in Sukkot and then Penuel, when he was run chasing the Midianim, and neither town refused, both towns refused to support his troops, and he came back and punished them. Ayin Sham and Sefer Shoftim, Perak Zayin and Perak Chet. Yaakov Shalem Yerushchem. This is a little bit of a troubling phrase. Yaakov came back, literally you would read it as Yaakov came back Shalem. Shalem seems to mean whole, but whole in what case? Whole in the case of his health? Is he still limping? If he's not limping anymore. Whole in the case of his wealth? Does this mean that all of the goods that he gave to Esav, he was now recompensed by God and he's now even wealthier? Unclear. It could be just referring to this respite that Yaakov now spent a while, as I'll say, he spent 18 months in Sukkot, and a little bit of a respite. So now he's Shalem. It could be. The Rashbam suggests something else, which is Yaakov Shalem Yer Shechem, which means he came to a town called Shalem, which is on the outskirts of Shechem. And indeed, there is an ancient town called Salam, which is on the eastern side of Shechem. And then the rest of the story, which we'll see in the next podcast about the terrible tragedy in Shechem, takes on a little bit of a different hue. Nothing critical to the story, but helps us a little bit with the geography. Yaakov Shalem Yer Shechem, Asher Be'eretz Kanan. Now, Yer Shechem here, of course, seems to mean the city of Shechem. Is Shechem a person, or is Shechem the person named after the city? That's again something that we will deal with in the next Aliyah, but that connects again with what I just said about Sukkot. Asher Be'eretz Kanan, v'omi padar aram, v'yichan et pnei ha'ir. He graced the city. And, or either that, or, simple read, he camped. And the face of the city, pnei ha'ir, would be the eastern side of the city, and he camped there. V'yichan, et chalkat ha'sadeh, he purchased a field, which is now our second purchase. The first purchase is Avraham Marat Machpelah. Now, v'yichan et chalkat ha'sadeh, asher ata shamo halo. So he set up a tent. And then he bought that field where he set up the tent. Miyad b'nei Chamor av Yishchem, he bought it from the children of Chamor av Yishchem. So notice, Shechem now is some sort of an important person in here. There's foreshadowing for the next parak. Chamor is the father, who is alive, and he buys it from his sons, which means the squires of the town. B'me'ak Sita. Sita is a coin that we're familiar with also from the Sefer Yov. V'yatsav sham Mizbeach, v'yikra lo el Elohei Yisrael. And this pasuk can be read several ways. He set up a mizbeach, and the simple read of it is that he called out to El Elohei Yisrael. Elohei Yisrael, of course, is a new name, because there is no Yisrael yet. So the way that Chazal prefer to read it is, Vayikravo El Elohei Yisrael. That Hashem, Elohei Yisrael, referred to Yaakov as a mighty person, as an El, as a powerful person. Which again is Hashem supporting Yaakov to not be one of deception and ambush, but rather one of straightforward and of power. That would be a way of reading it. In any case, the end of this Aliyah is filled with foreshadowing about Shalem and about Bnei Chamor Avi Shechem and also his setting up the Mizbeach, which is a statement of religious identity and how that's going to play out into the events of the next parak, which we will leave for the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.